Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I like that Felipe, we were talking at United with him, he didn't make it sound like so much of an insurmountable task.
Right, and apparently NYCFC's got some dudes that are out, but it just, as we said, it's like the boogeyman field because it's just, you just feel like you're not at your best up there on a compressed pitch. But, hey, man, if you missed the interview, we'll post it up there online, but I really like Felipe's take. Later on, guys, as we said, you'll hear the match right here on 92.9 The Game. And real quick, if you don't want to deal with the TV guys, you can just go to radio.com and listen to Jason and Mike because that just won't make your ears bleed. Yeah. And these guys, I want to hear the team from guys who know the team. So check it out at radio.com.
Yeah, use the app. Connect it to whatever you have on your sound bar or whatever. Or just have it sitting there next to you. Pause your DVR and just have the guys go in there. Basically, wait for a whistle. Yeah. You'll make that happen.
I don't know how to do any of that. My wife does all that.
I can show you how to do that.
No, I'm like the most least tech savvy guy out there. We got an NFL Blitz coming up. We're going to hear from Dan Quinn at 3:40. You'll hear our conversation that freaking you had this morning on 92.9 The Game. He was talking about the penalties, obviously.
Yeah, the penalties have obviously been a problem. 16 of them against. Last week against the Indianapolis Colts. Here's what Dan Quinn said when it talks about the fixing of that issue.
The ones that have had more than one, let's make sure those get handled. And so that's what I expect to see from this week, so we can just focus all of our fight, all of our attention just on Tennessee. And when we do that, we're a problem. Until we do that, that's why we're 1-2.
How much do you think is bringing that crew in from the outside going to help?
I mean, teams use referees in summer practice at camp. We talked about that earlier. There were referees for Falcon fans who went up there for the dates at Flowery Branch. It's just, you know, is it laziness? Is it technique? Is it the other guy doing a better job and you've got to resort to cheating? I mean, these are all questions we've been answering ourselves.
Is it rep, too? Reputation calls.
I mean, but this also goes back. Yeah, we touched on it. Once you start getting those, it just becomes this sort of self-propelling thing where everybody thinks you can't do it, so you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt. But you know what? This team also didn't really get all the starters out there together on the same page, like a lot of teams around the NFL. This year, less players who are starters or considered starters were actually playing in the preseason games, I think, than ever before. And I don't know if that's a factor that our team, for some reason, maybe needed more of that, or I don't know. Just got to clean it up. Titans don't scare anybody, but it's still an NFL team, and we should not be taking these guys for granted,
man. Well, that's it. This is the part of the schedule where you have to get hungry. And it's three games before you take on the Rams. And right now, if all you need is just a little bit of confidence, you can have some on Sunday when you host the Titans at the Benz. More football now with the Blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
It's brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Well, it looks like Jay Gruden's not going to change his mind, Mike.
Yeah, I don't really get this one. If you missed the show yesterday, Will Pelagic in for Carl. We were talking about your season's on the line. Your job is on the line. I mean, what's going to happen to Jay Gruden? How much longer? He's probably the guy on the hottest seat right now in the NFL. But if this guy ain't ready, this guy ain't ready. We're talking about Haskins from Ohio State. Maybe he's just not up to the speed they need him at.
The only thing I can think about, Mike, is he doesn't want to get the guy killed. Because you know that offensive line's a sieve.
Right.
And that's the real big part of it that I just don't understand from Jay Gruden's perspective. He says, this season's not lost. It's not over. I know everybody wants to say it's over, and the season is over, so go ahead and play Haskins. We feel confident we can turn this thing around. I'm here at practice every day. We evaluate everybody. We feel like if we put Dwayne in there, he might give us a chance to put in a coming game. Maybe that happens. I just don't know if we're there yet, he says.
Week 6 against the Dolphins, if you're looking for an easy transition to the quarterback. But, you know, and this is something, how many times, guys, have we seen it? Carl and I talk about it every football season. You draft the hot, you know, blank quarterback, And for whatever reason, the coach and general manager, you go get the other guy. In this case, Keenan was already there. You know that the quarterback of the future is Haskins. You dropped the top 10 pick on him. It's like when they had Tyrod Taylor and they had Baker Mayfield. You knew Tyrod Taylor was a placeholder. There's just no, I mean, to me, there's just no reason. Look at the Giants. They got a guy that's won 2 Super Bowls. They finally said, I'm not getting any traction with Eli. It's Daniel Jones time.
Think about Flacco and Lamar Jackson last year. Lamar Jackson became lightning in a bottle for the Ravens at the end of the year. And now all of a sudden they had to jettison Flacco, who had won them a Super Bowl.
Right. And I just think at time, you, as a fan, you're like, come on. Why did we put the work in? No one looks at the Redskins as a real challenger. You know, they, when they have a big-time lineman holding out, they got all sorts of issues across them. But they got the worst owner, arguably one of the worst owners in the NFL.
There's no arguably about it.
And you get the and you get the poor man's John Gruden as your coach. But it could be worse right now for Freddie Kitchens, or could it? In Cleveland, Freddie Kitchens, he says Rex Ryan about because the comments about Baker Mayfield are asinine. You hear about this? He said he's a one-read quarterback. Rexy basically, that was a knock on Mike Vick coming out of Virginia Tech. There was one read. If you're just not there, pull it and run.
If I'm relying on Rex Ryan's thoughts about offense, we have bigger problems.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
But I think we could all agree with all the hype around Cleveland that Baker, in the games that I've watched, and I think we all, most of us, we tried to watch the Rams game the other night, he's just running for his life back there. You know what I mean? It's almost like he boom, and then he's like, he's running for, he looks around, and then he's on the run, and he's just not effective, not accurate.
Looks like a guy who can talk the talk but can't walk the walk. And I know everybody wanted to say that the Browns were ready for prime time. Doing what they did against the New York Jets isn't going to impress anybody.
Now, Mary Kay Cavity, we've had on the show from time to time from the Cleveland Plain Dealer, talking to Rex Ryan, says, I don't get it. I'd love to be an offensive coordinator here. I have Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, Nick Chubb, and then there's Baker Mayfield. Yeah, I know he's overrated as hell. Look, I bought into the dang hype. I'm like, oh, yeah, but not to the point where everyone's saying he's going to be league MVP. Hey, here's a guy right now that's a one-read guy, and then he's going to improvise. That's Rex Ryan talking about Baker Mayfield.
Ravens and Browns on Sunday. It's funny. Earl Thomas has already given them some bulletin board material as well, saying that the media was talking about OBJ and Baker Mayfield and being the next savior. And then add to that, John Harbaugh talked about it a couple times in meetings, so the guys have kind of gotten tired about it. So that's going to be a juicy matchup coming up on Sunday. Meanwhile, the Philadelphia Eagles really need Fletcher Cox to look a lot better than he's looked. I mean, he's looked basically absent. In fact, if you look at the stat line from last Sunday, he didn't register a single stat on the stat sheet. 46 snaps, no sacks, no pressures, no hits, not even a tackle. He had as many tackles as the entire Dukes and Bell staff had.
Right.
Last time he was shut out that way was 3 years ago, 2017, in a game where he played just 3 snaps.
Now, the Eagles' defense came a little banged up when we played them on Sunday night. And was it Jernigan went out in that game, Bo?
Yes.
Tim Jernigan went out. So I'm not sure if he needed some help, but we did a good job with combo blocking in the interior of the line. We were, like, dreading Fletcher Cox because the last couple of games that we lost to Philadelphia, all week going into that game, Will, we talked about, you know, can you get Fletcher Cox neutralized? Because he busts in like the Kool-Aid man historically against the Falcons.
But oh, yeah.
For whatever reason, yeah, he's missing a little something right now. And the Eagles, man, you get your own fan base. Well, again, that's Philadelphia to be expected. But needless to say, they're restless up there because losing to the Lions on the heels of losing to us in a game that certainly Carson Wentz had a brutal first half, well, they're in trouble.
They also were a mash unit when it comes to the guys that they didn't have in the lineup, and so you can't put it all on Cox. But
a week where they didn't even practice because they didn't have enough bodies.
And not only that, you looked at him, especially when we saw him against Atlanta, he just didn't look like he had any hitch in his giddy-up, man. He seemed to, whether it was a step slow or just not all together there.
Stop saying that. You're devaluing our big win on Sunday night.
Oh, come on. But seriously?
This is the thing now. We beat the Eagles. We're feeling good because they're the big, you know, we said we got that monkey off our back. They smoked us. And again, we couldn't do anything in the red zone against them the last couple of times. We get the big win with Julio with the touchdown, and then we see the Eagles turn around and lay an egg against Detroit. I'm being tongue-in-cheek, but it devalues the win a little bit.
Yeah, let's worry about Jacoby Brissett making him look like Johnny Unitas.
Right.
Let's be real.
That's why when we asked Rich McKay last week, what is our team's identity? And we don't know, and we don't know when we're going to know.
Especially because of the fact that you wonder about this game against Tennessee this week. Meanwhile, off the field, former Patriots wide receiver Antonio Brown will not get his first installment of his signing bonus, which means here come the lawyers. Per a leaked source, the Patriots did not pay Brown $5 million, which was the first installment of his signing bonus, on or before the Monday deadline specified in his contract. It was something that we kind of knew about happening, even though the team's argument for not paying ultimately may fail. He did not commit a, quote, forfeitable breach under the terms of the labor deal. Again, we need to have higher degrees than you and I have to understand all the language in that contract. Basically, they're saying because all the stuff that happened on the Patriots' watch, they feel like they have the grounds to not pay him.
The lawyers for Antonio Brown are going to have a field day if and when Roger Goodell does put him on the exempt list. Although, I don't know how long it's going to take the NFL's investigation. You still have the civil suit that's got to play out. I do know this. I would imagine there's some people at Park Avenue saying, whatever we do, he's going to come after us. He's going to take this thing all the way to the Supreme Court, regardless of what the CBA language says. Now, again, the appellate courts will probably throw it out, but you know this guy's about as litigious as, well, any NFL player who's been down this road.
Well, the weird thing is the Players Association is supposed to represent him in this grievance. I'm sitting there, if I'm DeMora Smith, I'm saying, not me.
Nah, but that's the thing with the union, though. They're gonna rep the guys, even if the argument does seem ridiculous.
How do you walk into that room if you're DeMora Smith and have a serious look on your face?
Well, if you talk to some players, they don't think he has a serious look on his face. Again, there's a lot of, for those who don't read my language here, there's a lot of divisiveness in the players' union. Randy Max talked about it. Not everybody thinks that DeMora Smith is the guy.
A lot of divisiveness. You're putting it lightly.
Yeah, they think he's a clown. And you got the big CBA coming up, the big one, guys, at the end of this this next season. Hey, real quick, speaking of Antonio Brown, if you hadn't seen the video, it's out there as part of the, the deposition or some video that came out that goes back to the condo and the owner who's charging him with all the trashing he did at the condo when apparently it was something that got him upset, and he starts winging furniture out of the patio, and he hadn't seen this yet. They got a camera on the pool at this place down in Miami,
right.
And all of a sudden, there goes a chaise lounge, and there goes another chair. And like basically furniture is raining, and a kid nearly gets hit. That's the kid whose family sued him, and they settled.
Man, do you think he was in West Virginia or something?
Well, no, I mean
they burn the couch.
No, your couch is outside.
Yeah,
I actually got a buddy when I worked in Bluefield.
Right.
True story. A guy named Spanky lived in Princeton, and he had a double wide squid. You'd love this. And he had a couch with like some duct tape and stuff. And he would sit on the couch with a shotgun next to him, and he'd pull the shotgun up and shoot like turtles in the pond from the couch.
That's crazy.
Make turtle soup. I'm just saying. It was not bad. I mean, it does taste like chicken. Anyway, back to you, Will, with the NFL Blitz.
You said something yesterday that struck me. You think Antonio's playing next year. I don't know why.
I think I don't know if he's going to – see, I don't even know if he's going to be on the exempt list. I just think somebody somewhere will take a shot. And don't forget, the Antonio Brown saga has not hit rock bottom. Now, to most people with
really?
A mind – yes, but most people in the – see, here's the thing. We're living in the real world where you do that and you get fired and you have no recompense with your boss. Mm. This is the unreality of professional sports in the NFL. The guy's got a specific skill set that 0.001% can do.
You're not wrong.
He hasn't bottomed out yet. Now, again, he's still got a bunch of morons surrounding him. The emperor has no clothes. No one's telling this guy what he's got to do. But sooner or later, he's going to come clean. And then he'll pick the proper venue. He'll have a big interview. He'll cry. He'll talk about his tough childhood, which it was. It was a miserable childhood. But there'll be that moment where he'll just say he's sorry. We haven't reached that point yet. He'll be back.
I wonder.
His ego is so big, it's going to take a few more pegs being knocked off before he gets to rock bottom.
If this isn't rock bottom, I don't know if I want to see what rock bottom looks like. That's the problem.
Right.
By the way, your boy, the person who you were literally lusting over the last couple of days, Jalen Ramsey, did not practice this morning because of a back injury. First it was the flu, and now it's a back.
He's full of crap. I mean, he wants out. I'm just surprised. The problem is, Will, is the ask was so big. And for those who don't remember last week, they thought Thursday was going to be the last game, and he was be on a plane somewhere on Friday. But they want two first-round picks or a first-rounder and a second-rounder, and nobody's biting because you're also going to have to turn around and pay this guy, probably make him the highest-paid corner when his contract comes up. So Philadelphia needs help. The Eagles really might be the team that would probably be the most likely. But in the meantime, he doesn't want to risk an injury before he goes someplace else.
So you think he sits out against the...
I mean, look, I take the guy, but you got to deal with this attitude and this ego. Another Florida State DB who thinks he's Deion. But the guy's talent speaks for itself.
Would you give a first-round pick for him?
I would. I would here.
Really?
I would. We're having a middle. I mean, if we make the playoffs, we'd have a middle first round. I mean, our offensive line, if Lindstrom and McGarry can stay healthy, is set for the most part.
Might have to draft a safety.
Yeah,
you never know.
Yeah, you will have to. You definitely have to go get a safety. I mean, I don't mean to be mean spirited about Keanu. We love this guy,
of course.
But this is now we're getting into Sean Weatherspoon territory because you wonder when this guy's going to.
That's my guy.
Give you 16 weeks.
Zoom. Right. That's my guy, Spoon.
And Spoon again, great beloved Falcon, but he just at the end just could not stay healthy.
They've played Jacksonville, by the way. The Falcons do in Week 16. Will Jalen Ramsey be there?
No,
really?
No, he'll be gone before the trade deadline. You guys agree? Squid Billy is indifferent.
I just don't know if they listen to it. I just don't know if they listen to what. Because a lot of times there's some lip service that always happens Oh, yeah, yeah, we'll trade you. We'll trade you. Oh, no, and they end up keeping you. So
I just think owners at this point, and this is why I say this when Carl and I have this conversation, Will, the next CBA is going to be so contentious.
Oh, it's terrible.
Because the owners are going to want to push back on these things. Whether that comes to
we might not have a season in 21.
And I keep saying this, and people say, no, but maybe the first round picks will go to 3-year deals with a 4th-year option because guys sometimes outperform their contracts.
You're going to wrestle those 2 years of control out of the owner's cold, dead hands.
But then you got Le'Veon Bell and these other guys who do the tail wags the dog. Right. They dictate the tempo. Although this week we also learned Melvin Gordon's getting cold feet.
How badly is the NBA hurting the NFL when it comes to all this money going, all these guys, it's not the same league.
No, shorter-term contracts, I just don't think the business model can be applied to the NFL. And by the way, Melvin Gordon, there are some rumors that he is going to come back and play for the Chargers.
Yeah, really. That's another weird soap opera in itself. That was the NFL Blitz brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out, PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Our weekly chat with the Braves legend, Dale Murphy. We'll ask him how he would construct the Braves postseason roster and how he would handle these last 4 games for the Braves regular season. That comes your way next. Willie P. in for Carl Dukes. Alongside Mike Bell, this is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dukes and Bell brought to you by Kia, online at KiaDealers.com. And it's time for our weekly chat with the Braves legend, Dale Murphy. I don't know about y'all, but tomahawk chopping works up my appetite. And thankfully, Racetrack has all you can swirl treats from great delicious flavors like the Tomahawk Pop. Just $1.99 with a regular cup, only for a limited time at Racetrack. Whatever gets you going. Dale joins us now. Dale, Will Polonchik along with Mike Bell here. I'm sure you watched that game last night and your heart has to break for Acuna going for that 40-40 and pulls up on the fly ball there with the hip injury. What does that have to do for Brian Snitker when it comes to trying to play conservative, thinking about the playoffs?
Yeah, just like everybody else, kind of, took a deep breath and just hope for the best. And it sounds like we're okay. I mean, what Ronald said is I probably would have stayed in.
Right.
Obviously, we got a few games here, a week or so before we start the playoffs, so plenty of time to rest him. Yeah, of course, would have loved to have seen him get a chance at 40-40, and we're just going to have to play it by ear now. But obviously, the right thing is those kind of personal records and everything just gotta be put on hold. I think he's going to be threatening that quite a few years. I mean, so he'll have some more chances. But it's just unfortunate. Yeah. So yeah, I'm concerned, and Freddie too. I'm concerned there.
Yeah, man, that's the thing, Murph. Freddie with that elbow issue, it flared up in Washington a couple weeks back, and now, you want to have momentum. How important? We were asking the question: how important is it that you're winning these games, or does it even matter once you clinch?
I know it sounds weird. Obviously, you want to clinch as early as possible, just so you can set everything up. But baseball's, it's weird in that way. Whereas, I wouldn't have wanted to have been the Dodgers and clinched that early. I think the Braves are fine.
Right.
It's good now. As we see, they've clinched with a little time to spare to get people right. I think Acuna will be fine. I'm worried about Freddie because it's popped up before. And bone spurs, unless they go in and get it, I don't think it's going to go anywhere. So I'm a little concerned about that. I'm grateful that we, this is good to have about, a week to 10 days or so clinch and get your rotation, get the little nagging things. But, it's good to play well. Obviously, we, it's weird when you sit here like this and you got a game every night and it doesn't really matter. That's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. But I think the guys will be okay. We're going to have to see which roster moves get made, which is going to be a challenge, but we got a few days, so I'm comfortable, and it'd be nice to win a couple, sure, before we get into the real thing.
Braves legend Dale Murphy joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Dale, you mentioned roster moves and things like the playoff rotation. How would you set up Atlanta's playoff rotation, whether it's 3 or 4 men?
I think I would be a really good manager if I just had to manage the game.
Right.
And maybe, call down to the bullpen. Quite a few years ago, I was thinking about being a high school coach. Our neighborhood needed one.
Right.
And I had some friends, you know, talk to me. They go, Murph, you know, you're going to have to cut some of your neighbor's kids. And I was like, no, I just want to manage the game. I think even in professional baseball, if I was at that level, I know I could do it. I'd have to do it. But making this roster would be really tough on me. I hope Dansby starts hitting. I'm really concerned about that.
Right.
I could not leave some of these guys off that have contributed. And I think Julio Teheran, you know, that first half of the season, he's been very consistent. And, you know, I'm concerned now, too, about him.
I'm just thinking back to the kid who gets cut by Dale Murphy and his childhood dreams are all crushed. You know, it's like, you know, dear diary, Dale Murphy says I can't hit the curveball. Murph. But it's the thing about Julio. I mean, he had good spurts, then he had bad spurts, and unfortunately he's just hitting, he's throwing a very hittable ball. So I think he can't be there. What about Fulton, though? You trust Fultonavich for the postseason?
Yeah, I do. I like what he's done lately. You know, when you look at experience, you know, he was there last year. So, you know, I love Folty. I think everybody's always pulling for Folty, and I think he's shown, you know, speaking about momentum, I think he's got it going for him. So, yeah, I like that. Boy, but I'll tell you, there's going to be some heart-wrenching decisions. It's going to be a tough go. I just hate this part of the postseason.
Dale Murphy joining us, brought to you by Racetrack for his weekly spot with us on Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Will Pelagic filling in for Carl. You know, Dale, you mentioned Dansby not hitting. How do you deal with a guy like Austin Riley who, you know, had such a great spurt at the beginning of the year but just hasn't found it lately? And again, you know, it might be a situation where he doesn't end up on the postseason roster because of the slump he's in. How do you deal with a young player like that and keep him focused and encouraged?
Well, that brings up a good point because of his age. You know, he's gonna get a chance, and he's gonna be bouncing back, and it's gonna be another tough decision. You look at what he did there for a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, just carried the team, maybe even longer than that. You know, it's just it's gonna be a tough decision. But with his age and with what he's done, you know, you're gonna see him again. Getting back to Dansby, I mean, I just can't imagine a playoff team this year without a Dansby Swanson. I mean, that's going to be a little bit tougher. Obviously, Dansby's really young too, but mm-hmm. I think what he's done is a large reason why, you know, is a big part of the reason why they're there. You know, with Austin, I think we're fine. I think he'd totally understand that and get it. You're going to be fine with Austin. He's going to be back and correct some of the things he's got going on. He's going to have a little more experience. Things are going to get better.
It is Murph. Dale Murphy with his guys, brought to you by Racetrack, as we're discussing what that Braves roster is going to look like for the postseason. We talked about, you know, the new guys, the guys we picked up off waiver, Cervelli, Echevarria. I mean, these are guys I want to keep these hot bats in the lineup, whether it's off the bench or even a platoon for Dansby with Echevarria.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree with you. I think I like, you know, three catchers and, again, we just look at the moves the Braves have made and how they've worked out. You know, this is going to be one on the field, but there's so much going on behind the scenes and so many scouts everywhere making decisions on who to bring in, and they've done a remarkable job. So, you know, I think I agree with you. Echevarria has done remarkable, and he's been around the block and swinging better too. So, I like these moves, but you're right. It's guys that you know, this is how championships are won. It's not necessarily everybody in your minor leagues, but it's a trade here and a trade there. You know, seeing guys you know, come over to a new spot. I had to laugh at his remarks about escaping from New York, but you know, I thought it was you know, interesting. Guys come to a club that's contending, and things can happen.
Certainly so. Murph, since Mike is a guy who hates the fancy stats, I'll ask the fancy stats question for you. Of course, people are talking about Soroka maybe starting game three because he's better on the road than he is at home. I just don't like that myself, because I think you have to go with your best guys earlier on in the potential series there. How do you feel about where they put Soroka?
Yeah, this is the good. Yeah, I mean, you know, even without the modern day analytics, we'd know this one too. I mean, this is, you know, this has been something that we could keep and track the whole time. But it is it's an interesting problem. My first reaction was obviously you got to look at the splits. It looks like we're going to play St. Louis. But I love Mike Soroka's stuff. If there's a little question on what he's done against them, or what the St. Louis hitters have done against a pitcher like Soroka, if there's a comparable, but I agree with you. If you can put your best guys in there. It's the playoffs, and I know it's hard for managers sometimes to go against a little bit of those kind of splits home and away, but. You know, I love Soroka. I love the way he pitches, and I get it. I want him in there as much as possible.
It is Dale Murphy with us, guys. Don't forget, when the Braves do take on the Cardinals, which it looks to be, go hang out at Murph's, man, and walk over that pedestrian bridge. You can park at the Galleria. It's cheaper, and have a great burger at Murph's. Hey, Dale, real quick before we cut you loose, got about a minute left. The Dodgers get the Nats, and I heard Scherzer saying they don't fear anybody. There he's pumping his chest out. You give the Nats a fighting chance against the Dodgers.
Yeah, just because it's baseball, but that I give them a fighting chance. I think that the Dodgers are well wrestled.
And we just
I just think they got everything going for them. So, but you know, baseball, and anytime you got a staff that's got a couple good pitchers, like, or very good pitchers like the Nats do, I'll give them a fighting chance.
Well, brother, we always appreciate the insight, Dale, and next week we'll have plenty more to talk about as the playoff picture is perfectly clear and the rotation and everything else. Have a good weekend, brother.
Okay. You guys, too. Thanks for having me on.
What do you think about the Soroka debate?
I mean, I'm with you. I if he's better at home, if he's better on the road, I should say, than at home, I could see that. But, man, Fried has become the ace. Fried, Soroka, flip a coin. You think Dallas Keuchel is going to pitch first, though, right?
I would say so. I would say
he's got the experience with the Strohs.
Keuchel and then Soroka or Fulte, whatever your pleasure is. The annual Tailgate Fest, Saturday, October the 5th from 11 to 5 at the Home Depot backyard. Join 92.9 The Game for a day of great activities for the entire family, including a tailgate and chili cook-off contest open to the public. Enjoy music and the best food trucks in Atlanta and games for all ages. Sign your tailgate team up now at the event page at 929thegame.com. If you missed the interview with the morning show with head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Dan Quinn, you'll hear it next, including how he feels about the penalty woes and also how he plans to handle the safety position. Comes your way next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Dukes and Bell. Willie P. in for Carl. You know what I love about you?
What?
You do not take yourself too seriously.
Hell no, man.
I love it.
You know what? We'll talk about this later in the show. We got to come up with shirts that are longer in the front for guys that got beer bellies. That's what I'm trying to keep pulling this polo down the whole show.
They have that whole, that untuck it thing.
Yeah, that doesn't work for me.
That doesn't work for you?
I got a big chest, but I got T-Rex arms. It's like, I got to get like shirts made for me. Anyway, more on that or less on that later. Earlier today on the morning show, Frickin' Hugh, we're talking to Dan Quinn and John Fricky. First question, said Coach, these penalties, how are you going to clean this up?
Well, that's kind of the message I had, man. You fight only one team, and let's spend this week getting our football right, because having that many penalties and being minus in the turnover margin, you don't get to be anybody else's nightmare until we get that part fixed. So we know they managed just Tennessee. Let's make sure our football is right, so we only have to fight Tennessee. When you got to fight against yourself and the other team, man, it makes it hard. And it's been a hard lesson for us to have to do that. But we know they're correctable, and we damn sure plan on doing that.
Hold up, Coach. Can I just rewind that a little bit? You can't be anybody else's nightmare until you correct your mistakes. I like that a lot.
We know what we're capable of, but, man, these, the self-inflicted ones, when you're fighting against yourself, and not the other team on some respects, just not good enough. So we certainly plan on getting those things fixed as a group, an entire team, and that's what we'll spend this week on. Before we can lock in on Tennessee, we got to get our football like we want it, and when we do that, we know what we're capable of.
And to that end, Coach Quinn, do I read correctly, you're going to bring in a full officiating crew to just get these guys' attention?
I do want to do that, and we have officials at all the practices, but I felt like with the amount and the volume,
Certainly with the holding where it is, I want to make sure they're especially looking at our hands and inside and tight to make sure to have that kind of differential in a game was uncomfortable. So we're going to make sure we do everything we can. So all we have to do is just fight the other team and nothing against ourselves. So they want it badly, that's for sure, and that's usually sometimes what happens when a penalty occurs, especially, you know, holding a one. You want it so bad, you want to play, you know, guard the guy tight or block him tight. So let's make sure doing it as detailed as we can, and that's why they're coming through for some extra time and some extra looks at practice.
Talking with head coach Dan Quinn of the Atlanta Falcons ahead of the game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium on Sunday against Tennessee. Coach, Keanu Neal's injury and the impact of this team into you.
Well, number one, ultimately, he's such a good competitor, and we'll miss him, but he'll miss it even more. You and John, this guy loves football and everything that goes with it, the physicality, the toughness. He's just been such an impact, you know, for the team and the teammates. So, you know, as hard as it is for us, it's even harder for him. So he'll have to get surgery. But I would say if there's a person that's built for it to get it together and come back and do what he's capable of doing, he's certainly that type of man. And so we'll miss him for sure. And, you know, as we move forward, those are part of the season that takes place. But we're certainly, you know, disappointed for him because I know how hard he worked to get back to where he is.
I know it's a rule, but a lot of us had the same reaction when the injury happened. There were two things that were going on. Well, three. One is, oh, my God, no. Two was watching him cry. And the third was the flag for taking the helmet off and unsportsmanlike. And a lot of Falcons fans, me included, Coach, said, what are you talking about? I mean, isn't there a time and place for that, or is it just, hey, that's the rule?
Well, I'll leave that up to them. You know, I think we always have the opportunity. If you need to pick it up, hey, that's not what it, you know, we thought it was. But afterwards, you felt his passion into it. I think that's what our fans know, how passionate he is, how tough he is, how important the team is to him and the city and all it means. So that's what was coming out. But at the end of it, they're going to do what they think's best. But I always think use your best judgment in those moments.
We're talking to Coach Dan Quinn, head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Coach, when it comes to accountability, where does it lie when it comes to penalties and team setbacks?
Well, I think it starts, it's the whole team. Because when you have, just from the turnover margin, to not have, a takeaway in the game, that's not acceptable, And then from a penalty standpoint, usually, Hugh, this just from your own time, it's not a whole team-wide thing. So it's the ones that are had, more than one, let's make sure those get handled and get fixed and get corrected. So that's what we're looking to do. But I do know this. This team is really accountable to one another. And so that's what I expect to see from this week for us to really get our football lined like we want so we can just, like I said, focus all of our fight, all of our attention just on Tennessee. And when we do that, we're a problem. But until we do that, that's why we're 1-2, and so we've got to get that part of our game correct.
Coach, I got a question. Like, I remember vividly when I used to jump off sides and stuff of that nature, I would get it twofold. I would get it the day of the game, like I would get pulled to the side, and I would get it on that Monday. Does it still kind of go that way? Is that kind of highlighted when certain individuals kind of set the team back a little bit, or do you kind of keep it more of a general type thing?
No. That's what Monday's about, getting to the truth of what happened, good and bad. On the days that you play well, you want to highlight the things that went right and why it did. And on the days that it didn't, you had better show those too, because that's what being part of a team is. And that's how you do build accountability. Everybody's up. Everybody's responsible for it. So, we talk about obviously on the sidelines. But when you get into Monday, those are the ones as a player that you don't like being up there because you don't like to let the team down. And certainly wasn't anybody's intent to do that, but we got to get our focus right, man. And that's why we're bringing in the extra officials. That's why we're making such a big impact on this, because we know we can get it right.
Falcons head coach Dan Quinn with John and Hugh. Coach, let's go over some of the health issues of the team here. Can you update us on Grady and Tack and what the plan is at punter and safety?
Sure. Well, let's talk first on the defensive line side with Tack and Grady. Both of them got banged up in the game. We're certainly hopeful for both of them making progress through the week to be able to play for the weekend. So they'll be limited in some fashion, into today and into tomorrow perhaps. But both of them are trending on the right way up. And then as far as Bosher goes on the punt in and kickoff side, he'll get good work today. And then again on Friday, and that's where we'll have our best assessment. So he's after the punts and then after the kickoffs, and we'll be ready to roll after week. So we'll take it the whole week and take all the time we need to make sure that he's at his best so he can do all the things that he does.
And the plan at safety for the time being is what?
Well, we activated Jamal Carter, somebody that we brought over from Denver at the start of the regular season. We're excited about him. We've also obviously have, you know, Kamal Ishmael, one of our better tacklers, who's got plenty of experience playing safety, you know, in the system here. So those two guys are there. And then, you know, from there, it's a crew of guys that will take on some of the roles and how we do it. But that's how we'll start off, John.
Sports Radio 929 again. We're talking to Coach Dan Quinn, head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Coach, Jamal Carter, what was it about him that you liked over everybody else that you were looking at?
I think it was probably the physicality, Hugh, because when you play down in the box, you better make sure that you can bring the noise. And that's what we saw. We were very excited about him coming out, you know, when he's coming out of Miami. And then when you like somebody, you keep track of them, you see where they're at, and if you have a chance to add them to your team, that's where we go. And then so for the past, you know, 3 weeks, he's been ingrained with the guys and get the system down. So he certainly seemed like, you know, the right type of guy, the right makeup. And so he's made a good impression on us so far.
Coach, the Tennessee Titans come into this game 1-2. They had a big win on opening week against Cleveland on the road, and then they've struggled a little bit the last couple of weeks on offense. It's pretty obvious, at least to us. Well, I shouldn't say that. You're the head coach. But let's put it this way. It's going to be a case where I think Tennessee, this is my guess, is going to try to, you know, use that workhorse of Derrick Henry and establish that run. To that end, how do you get off to a quicker start this week and kind of set that tone early against what Tennessee wants to do?
Well, no question. You know, these are two tough teams that are going to be battling for it. For both teams, you know, they had a nice win to start their season up at Cleveland and then had a tough, close loss to Indianapolis and then a game that didn't go as well against Jacksonville. So when you have those moments, you come back and you're ready to fight and try to prove it. And so for us in the same way, you know, had a difficult matchup. We had a good win here at home. And so for us to be back home, you know, in front of our fans, our energy right, and we want to make sure, like I said, before even turning the attention to them, our football is right. But you've nailed it. They've got really, you know, capable running back in Derek. He's strong. He's, you know, can bounce outside. He's got, even for a bigger back, he's got speed to go the distance. He's shown that in the run game. He's shown that on the screens to come out. And so he's a featured part of their team for sure. For a long time, we've certainly been impressed by their tight ends. They're able to, you know, not just, you know, they can stretch the field running seam routes and over routes. So they've got a full complement of guys, and our tackling had better be on point, that's for sure.
As the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Dan Quinn, and make sure to join 92.9 The Game this Sunday starting at 9 for the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Hugh Douglas, Andy Bunker broadcasting live off Northside Drive across the street from the Gold Deck. We'll come back top of next hour with our dog report. I tell you what, man, another game under the lights for Georgia, although they won't have the benefit of the LED lights this time. We'll tell you all about that coming up next. Willie P in for Carl alongside Mike Bell. It's Dukes and Bell, brought to you by Kia on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.